Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. To the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. This is Teacher Tindall welcoming you to today's broadcast. These broadcasts are designed to reach out to UFCCM laity and fulfill the goal of the Ministry of Laity Training, which is in keeping with Ephesians 4:11 through 13, to prepare the laity for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. We are so happy you have joined us today for another opportunity to learn. Let us open with a prayer. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. We thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity to share one more time. We even thank you for the technology that makes this possible. Lord, we ask you to bless every listener on the broadcast this morning. Help them to walk away with something that they may apply and use. Father, our goal is not to present a good lesson, but a lesson that will do some good. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Well, in last month's broadcast, we learned three powerful steps to accomplishing extraordinary things for God. Today, we want to talk about another topic that relates to us, and that is dealing with difficult people. Perhaps this is a troubling area that has affected most of or all of us at one time or another, and perhaps some of you may be dealing with this issue even as we speak. This is a two-part lesson, and today we're going to focus on part one, Jesus' method of dealing with difficult people. One of the most important skills needed to succeed in life and in whatever ministry of service that we as laity have, is knowing how to handle difficult people. If you learn how to deal with difficult people early on and use strategies and techniques to diffuse these situations, you'll be able to put more energy into ministry and service rather than spending time in anguish, in needless conflict and confusion. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller what he considered the most valuable skill in employees, and he said the ability to get along with people. I say that's the most valuable skill in life because we deal with people all the time at work, in our homes, with our family members, extended and otherwise, at the church, when we go shopping, when we go out to play and have recreation, and everything that we do, we deal with people. And sometimes we encounter difficult people. You know the type, because difficult people come in a variety of ways, and they can cause trouble. Let me give you an example of some difficult people or troublemakers. The Sherman tank, the person who will run over you if you let him or her. The megaphone, the one who will talk your ear off, the bubble buster, the one who deflates everyone's enthusiasm, the volcano. That person has a temper like Mount St. Helens, the crybaby, the chronic complainer, the nitpicker, who is the unpleasant perfectionist, the space cadet, someone who is on a different, seems to be on a different wavelength. Aggressive people, these are people who are violent when it comes to interacting with others. They often get angry, act out, and hurt and cause emotional and physical pain to other people. Snipers. Snipers are those people who are skillful in attacking others by silently stabbing their back by means of gossip, sarcasm, or disapproving looks. You hesitate to interact with them, but when you don't respond to them, it brings on even more hostility on their part. Complainers. Complainers are those people who keep on whining about everything in their life. They just keep procrastinating and complaining. What about the think-they-know-it-all? The think-they-know-it-all people can't fool all the people all the time, but they can fool some of the people enough of the time and enough of the people all of the time, all for the sake of getting attention. They know how to learn just enough about a subject to sound like they know what they're talking about, and they tend to be addicted to exaggeration as a way to get attention. And then you have the grenade person who explodes into unfocused ranting and raving about things that have nothing to do with the present circumstances. You may have identified some of these types, and you may know some people who exhibit these characteristics. But how have you dealt with them? What did you do right, and what did you do wrong? We must remember that we are fallen people. We're children of God, imperfect but forgiven. And in our lives, conflict is going to happen sometime. We are going to encounter difficult people. But we must deal with them in a manner that does no damage to God's family, that does no damage to testimony and our witness. So what should you do in handling or dealing with difficult people? Our example is Jesus, because as we said, the topic of our lesson is Jesus' methods of dealing with difficult people. You see, he had to deal with a lot of difficult people, the scribes, the Pharisees, and unbelievers, and even those he blessed, who did not even bother to show gratitude. For example, the 10 lepers in Luke 17, in which only one actually came back to express his gratitude to Jesus. I would say the other nine were difficult people. So Jesus had many dealings with what we would consider difficult people. And I would like to share with you today four methods Jesus modeled. And since he is our example, we can learn how to deal with difficult people from examining how Jesus dealt with them. Okay, the first method, realize that you can't please everybody. You know, even what God does doesn't please everybody. One wants rain while the other wants sunshine. One wants it to be hot, and the other wants snow or cold. Even God can't please everybody. In John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing," meaning of my own accord, "but only as I am taught by God and get his orders. As I hear, I judge. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision, and my judgment is righteous or just, because I do not seek my own will." In other words, he was saying he has no desire to do what is pleasing to him, but his own aim, his own purpose, is the will of the Father who sent me. So the lesson we have here is that Jesus lived for one purpose only, and that was to carry into effect the will of his Father. He didn't come to please anybody, but he came to save everybody who is willing to believe. He came to do the will of his Father who sent him. And we know from reading the scripture that his Father was well pleased. So for us, our goal should be to please the Father. We need to understand we cannot, we will not, we do not have the capability to please everybody. But you know what? When we please the Father, when we do the will of the Father, those who are truly of God will be okay with it, and we don't need to worry about the rest. So realize that you cannot please everybody. The second behavior or second lesson that we learn from how Jesus dealt with difficult people is to refuse to play their game. Learn to say no to unrealistic expectations, tricks, or attempted entanglements, but confront difficult people by telling them the truth in love. Matthew 22:15 through verse 18, I want to just read that. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent him to their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. In other words, he was aware of their malicious plot. And he said, or he asked them, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? In other words, why do you put me to the test and try to entrap me, you hypocrites or pretenders? You see, the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus in his words by providing him or putting him in a lose-lose situation. The conundrum for Jesus was that if he said yes, he could be perceived as sympathetic to the Romans, who at that time occupied and Jerusalem and oppressed the Jews. And this would not play well with the Jewish people. And then if he said no, he would be in trouble with the Romans, who would view him as a revolutionary. But Jesus refused to play their game. He refused to let them trick him. And in response to their question, gave a rather ambiguous one-line answer. In verse 22, Matthew 22:22, Jesus said, Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. And the Bible tells us they marveled and left him and went their way. So how you deal with difficult people and how you respond to them, and when you refuse to play their game, can many times cause them to leave you alone. So think about that as you encounter situations where people try to draw you in or entangle you in situations that are not positive. The third lesson or behavior that Jesus modeled or he taught about was to never retaliate. When we retaliate in dealing with difficult people, it only lowers us to their level, and we become no better than them. You know, the world ethic is to strike back, to get even, or to do unto them like they do unto you. And I even heard someone say one time, do unto them before they do unto you. But let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. And this is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. In other words, one who injures you. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turned the other to him also. And then Jesus goes on to say, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And I want to read further because this is a powerful teaching. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? In other words, you're no better than them. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And when Jesus talks here about being perfect, he's talking about fully developed, grown into maturity of godliness. So in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus was correcting the abuse of the law of retaliation and retribution. The Romans called it lex talionis, or law of talion. That's Latin for law of retaliation and retribution. This law was the basic law of Israel, which God gave Israel as a part of the civil law for ruling the nation of Israel. When we read in Exodus chapter 21, and in specifically verses 21 and 20, verses 22 through 25, we see that God spells out this law, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, a stripe for a stripe. But when God gave this principle, it was not meant to be implemented by individuals for personal reasons, but it was meant as the civil law of Israel to be implemented by judges and magistrates in punishment for those who disobeyed the law or committed atrocities. But in Jesus' time, people had diverted this and were using the lex talionis, or the principle or the law of retaliation and retribution, to settle personal and individual grievances. So in this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus taking the opportunity to correct this abuse. So when Jesus is talking about turning the other cheek, he means not so much a physical attack, but a personal insult. Because, see, a characteristic Jewish form of insult was to strike a person on the right cheek. Usually this would be a backhanded slap. And when in the Jewish culture, when this was done, this was a form of insult, a personal insult. But Jesus is saying here not to trade insults. When he says turn the other cheek, it means not to trade insults, even if it means receiving more. And he's also teaching us to surrender the right to personal revenge. So in turning the other cheek, we don't trade insults. We accept more and we give up the right to personal revenge. He's teaching that we are to suffer for the sake of peace and avoid disputing and strife. We note in John 18 and 22, when Jesus was brought before the high priest, before he was turned over to Pontius Pilate, one of the officers struck him with the palm of his hand. But we see that Jesus did not retaliate. What did he do? He was meek and he was dignified, and he did not strike back, but he submitted meekly. You know, in verse 39, when Jesus said to not to resist, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also, I do not believe he was requiring Christians to subject themselves or others to physical abuse. That is not what that meant, but it really means that we are to be in humility, that we are to surrender the right to wreak personal revenge on someone who has injured us or done something wrong to us. Even the Apostle Paul, we look over in Romans chapter 21, verses 17 through 19, he says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." In other words, brothers and sisters, and rather than get even, you know, rather than use the world ethic of trying to get even or using the world ethic of striking back or doing unto someone what they do to us, we should be willing to go to the opposite extreme, to do the opposite, to show them good for evil and to seek peace. Number four, pray for them. Matthew 5 and 44. Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So we are to, as Jesus did and as Jesus said, we are to pray for those difficult people who are in our face or who are troublemakers or who create difficult situations. And it'll help both of us. You know, it said it takes two to argue, it takes two to tango, and that is true. We have to stand back and let God handle them. Romans 12 and 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, in our next broadcast, which will be on June 11th, I want to go into part two of this lesson, which will address six strategies for reacting to difficult people. And when we talk about reacting, that talks about what we actually do and how we actually respond. And we're going to learn about some additional types of people, and I also want to introduce you to a model that you can use to avoid emotional reactions and negativity to difficult people. I hope that you have learned something today. Are there any questions or observations? There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. So, next week, in our next broadcast, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at a model. And I like to think of this as a pause and consider model. And, you know, as we look around our world today, the world that we're living in, we're in it, but we're not of it, but we live in the world. There's so much crime and violence. When we read the newspaper, when we watch television, even murmuring and comments that we hear all around us really address so much violence and killing. And if more and more individuals could move away from the world ethic of how you deal and handle difficult confrontations and situations, we would have such a much better world to live in. Even sometimes in the body of Christ, sorry to say, there can be situations of confrontation and strife brought about by people who come across maybe in a difficult manner or misunderstood, and those with whom they interact don't know how to deal with them, don't know how to diffuse them, don't know how to handle those kinds of situations. And in the model that we're going to talk about at the next broadcast, as I said, I like to call it the pause and consider method. And it's also been addressed or called the stop model. And I'm going to give you those four parts of the stop model. Just be thinking about those for the next broadcast. Stop whatever you're doing. Take three deep breaths and a moment to pray. Observe how your body feels. And then proceed with kindness and compassion. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with questions. Sister Paulette, I know you're listening, and I think you're on your computer, but if you have a question, you need to pick up your phone so that I can hear your question.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, great, 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 great. Okay, I guess I got an echo here. I don't know what to do.
I can hear you.
Okay.
What you'll have to do, caller, what you'll have to do is you'll have to mute your microphone on your computer if you're on your telephone.
Turn that down, right? Okay. All right. That's what I did. Okay. Thank you for the lesson. I'm a usher at Bread of Life Church, and I've been there for 3 years. And I come across a lot of these people that you discussed on today. And this is great information. I really appreciate it. And I took notes, and my notes are really good.
Good.
I really don't have a question, but I do want to lay comment on the fact that as Jesus wants us to be meek and dignified with humility, sometimes I need to pray for myself. I need to work in this area because of the fact that I'm quick to be overwhelmed, and in the process of me being overwhelmed, I am by myself in the ushering ministry, and I have tendency to be placed in a position that I am by myself, and that's why I feel so very overwhelmed. So I just need prayers. but I, this information is really good for me. It really is. And like I said, I need to pray. I need others to pray for me for this so I don't be quick to judge, quick to snap, or quick to hurt anybody's feelings and try
yes.
to do, yeah. But this information, Mrs. Tyndale, is very good. I appreciate it. And I appreciate Bishop getting me to get involved. And I will be listening on the part two.
Well, Sister Paulette, I was going to say, in part two, when we go through that model that I just told you about, that
yes,
is
ma'am.
Going to help you immensely deal with your emotional reactions. And
yeah,
the
okay.
other thing I want to put a plug in, I've been saying that our desire in laity training is to actually come out to the jurisdictions to do training, because when I do this as a workshop, we actually get to role play. So you get to feel
Ooh.
What it feels like.
That's
it's, you
good.
Know, in the
I
broadcast, I can only give you information, and we're doing
yes.
this to kind of get people interested. But the real objective is to go out and actually have feet on the ground in the jurisdictions, doing the training, doing role plays, because when you play it out, you really simulate what it feels like, and you learn how to handle situations much better. But thank you for
yes.
your comment, and we will
okay.
be praying for you.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless.
Laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The Laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of